Stay tuned for a special edition of the Multifamily Deal Lab podcast.
Dealing with the family dynamics was a little challenging at times. You never know where to cross the line because both of them, mother and son, fighting. You communicate with the son thinking that he's going to update his mom. The mom says, you guys are not even keeping me in the loop. What is going on? But slowed down the process at times.
Family dynamics was difficult.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Multifamily Deal Lab podcast, where we dissect the deal before your eyes and ears so you can discover the strategies and tactics that got each deal to the finish line. Strategies and tactics that you can put in your own toolbox to get you to the closing table. From sourcing the deal, raising, due diligence to the property takeover, Multifamily Deal Lab shows how you too can get the deal done. And now here's your host, David Lindahl.
Everybody, welcome to Multifamily Deal Lab. I'm your host, Dave Lindahl. And I'm excited about this podcast because we have got two partners on the line that have done a pretty good sized deal that they're going to tell you all about. And we're also going to go into lightning round at the end of this. Do you guys know what lightning round is, by the way? Vish? Matthew?
Anna? I have a little idea, but I have no idea what it does.
You have a little idea, but no idea? Okay. All right. So that's a little fun thing I like to do. And so it's kind of unusual. It's a little bit quirky, but it's fun. So let's make life fun, right? Let's get right into it. Tell everybody who you are. Vish, you first. Tell everybody who you are and where you're from.
Well, for everybody listening, my full name is Vishwanath Muni Venkatappa, but I wouldn't challenge anyone to tell my full name, but I go by Vish Muni. And I'm from India, born and raised in India. I did all my schooling in India and came to U.S., to the land of opportunities 20 years back. And we moved to Texas 10 years back, thanks to my Texas wife, and she brought me here. And ever since I moved to Texas, I've been investing in single family homes, that is 10 years back. And prior to that, I've been a technology consultant all my life. And I've been a small business owner while I've been investing in single family homes. After 10 years, I realized, well, there's something wrong with this. People talk about the fancy lifestyle and retiring in 2 years after or 3 years after investing in real estate. I should be doing something wrong. I've been doing it for 10 years. I should have retired long back. And that is when I came across a book written by Dave Lindahl and our ex-president Donald Trump, Commercial Investing 101. And that caught my curiosity. And then I started following Dave Lindahl. I mean, not literally in the sense online. So I was following him, and then and that is how I got involved with joining. I ended up joining RE Mentor in 2019, November at that time. And that's when I discovered for the first time what syndication is all about. And I got super excited once I realized that. And I ended up joining the program thanks to Dave, Tyler, Ryan, and Gene, Jermaine, and my coach, Don Goff. And also Morris from my, I've been talking to Morris also.
Matthew, Anna, tell everybody who you are, where you're from.
My name is Matthew Petz. I'm originally born and raised in California. Worked as a mechanic for many years and decided to move to Houston, Texas to get a little more vocational education in cylinder head machining. And that's, decided to stay in Texas. And shortly thereafter, I came up on a little inheritance and started investing in single family homes. And I read Robert Kiyosaki's book. And from there, then I found Dave's book, Multifamily Millions, which led me to the boot camp. And the boot camp quickly led me right into joining the program. And Rebecca was my coach from there. And after a year of looking at deals, we finally landed one.
Yeah, I just came along for the ride. No,
that's it.
I'm the accountant. I went to school at CT Stanislaus, so I have my bachelor's degree in administration, concentration in accounting. So I was able to come on and start with the single family homes and take care of the books that way, and it just went from there.
Awesome. So then you guys decided you're going to start investing together?
Yep.
Yep.
So how did the three of you all get together?
Well, I
become partners.
I kept in touch with Matthew. I love networking. So, since I met Matthew, we had a similar mindset in terms of investing.
Where did you meet?
I met him at the boot camp, Multifamily Millions in Houston.
Oh.
Houston?
Yeah.
And that was the first time. And then we kept in touch with on the phone call or voicemails. And we ended up going to the same immersion training organized by Jeff Lindell in Houston. And we reconnected.
Jeff's crazy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good time.
We had a good time.
That's what everybody always says. They had a good time with that event.
Right. So that is how me and Matthew kept in touch. And then we worked on a few.
So you guys decided to do a deal together. Talk about the deal. How big was it? Where was it? Where is it, first of all? Where's the deal that you did?
It's in Bonham, Texas. It's about 45 minutes to an hour northeast of Dallas area. So it's a small little area. It's up and coming. We got a lot of people that are pushing out of the McKinney area there because it's just getting expensive in McKinney, and that area just growing up along they call it 121 State Highway along there. But we found this through our property manager, who's actually involved in a deal that we're general partners on in Denton, Texas. So she owned that deal before, and her son was getting ready to sell it, and she didn't want to be out of it. So she was trying to find someone involved in the group so she can partner up with to buy it.
Oh, wow.
And it was 65 units. The numbers look right. There's a lot of potential there. Mm-hmm. We have room to build another 60 units at least. Mm-hmm. So we'll be able to double the unit size there.
Okay, so this is interesting because you had a property manager bring you the deal and she wants to be inside of the deal. And so you three together cut a deal with her. What type of a deal? What type of an equity split deal did you cut with her?
Usually, since we're new, she'd be our sponsor and sign on the note. And usually she would take about 50% of the GP shares. And when we break it down, we were looking at about a 60-40 split. So basically in her and her team, they ended up with a 20% equity stake in the whole deal.
You did a money raise?
We raised the funds ourselves. We had cash and from family. So the investors are family.
Okay, so let me understand this. So the deal between you guys, the ownership and the investors, is a what split?
What was that?
Is that the 60-40?
Yeah.
So the investors get 60, you guys get 40, and of the 40, the manager got 20. So you get 50% of the 40?
Yes.
Okay, I get it. And
we brought the funds to the deal for the most part. So
we didn't have to raise. Yeah.
We basically own that other 60%.
Great. So you three are the one team and she's the other team, and then you got your partners. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
So Vish, what did you think of the deal when it was brought to you?
Well, this was a very creative deal. In other words, it is not a straightforward deal because Matthew already had known the property manager through another deal. And that way we had an existing relationship. And all Matthew had to do was listen to her and talk to her and go with her and see if it's the right property, because it took us almost 8 months to take down this deal because we were going back and forth.
What was the purchase price?
Well, it was originally 6.25. Our final purchase price was 5.55.
And how did you get that price down? Was it simply the numbers didn't work?
Negotiations with the seller, we basically assumed his debt. So he reduced the purchase price by the amount of his prepayment penalty.
Oh, okay. I get it. All right. So you went through an assumption process with the bank?
What's that?
You went through the assumption process with the bank?
No, we didn't go through that process, but we took on the debt. They assigned it to us.
Yeah. So did you pay a point for them to do some due diligence on you guys?
No.
You didn't pay?
Since Kathy was our property manager, had already signed on the note 100%.
Yeah.
And she was staying in the deal. It was an easy
change. Oh, I see.
So nothing changed, yeah.
Okay, so there's another unusual aspect in this particular deal, because you were able to assign it and just get added on, which I'm sure the bank was happy about. But they didn't have to. You didn't have any vetting to do because one of the original borrowers was staying on. Yes.
Yes.
So you're really just displacing borrowers. It didn't cost you anything to do that. Must have been a local bank. Was it local?
No, it was through Arbor.
Oh,
it was a Fannie.
All right, good. All right. So they reduced the, so since there wasn't a defeasance or yield maintenance or prepayment penalty, all three are the same, basically, different variations. Yeah. So they agreed to just reduce it by the amount of what they would have paid. So that's pretty good. They're looking for a particular profit and they got it. You get it one way or the other.
Yep.
And okay. So for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
That's awesome.
Months of spending time talking with the seller.
Yeah. Why did it take so long? You said it took 8 months to negotiate.
But we had to build the relationships and we had to make sure they were comfortable. I think it was the seller's, so it was his first property and he had a little emotional attachment to the property.
Oh, but yet he wanted to sell.
Right.
Yeah, he's moved on to bigger deals now. Mm-hmm.
All right, if you go to davetoday.com, I have got a free book offer for you. And it is my iconic multifamily millions book. I wrote this as a sequel to Emerging Real Estate Markets. But this has been the start of many, many of our students' multifamily millions. So many people were inspired by this particular book and continue to be inspired by because it's foundational information that gives you the awareness, the foresight to know that you can become a multimillionaire and the step-by-step on how to go do it. Now, this book retails on Amazon for $23. You can have it for free. All I ask is you pay shipping and handling of $7.95. And you can also get some free bonuses when you do, and also autograph it for you. Those bonuses are, number one, the 27 ways to buy multifamily properties with no money down. There's actually 104 ways in here. You hand it to your management company. They go out and do what it says. And then in doing that, you keep your property leased up and you keep that cash flow coming in. Another bonus I have is the Deal Flow Playbook. This is a playbook of checklists for all the different things that you're going to be doing in your multifamily deals, step by step. I learned a long time ago that if you do not follow a checklist and check things off, you miss things. And those are the things that are going to cost you money. So everything that you do in sourcing deals, underwriting deals, raising funds for your deals, taking over the properties on your deals, to the nitty-gritty, the lease audit on your deals, to preparing for the exit of your deals. Everything has a checklist. You get all those checklists as a bonus, and that's free. And then I mentioned I wrote the book Emerging Real Estate Markets. I also have a poster for you, and that is the Emerging Real Estate Markets poster. It gives you the four stages of the emerging markets. It gives you each particular phase, the key characteristics of those phases, and down below, it tells you what your key strategies should be for that particular phase. So you can just simply put this on your wall. And with that, you can determine what your market is, where it is in any particular phase, or if you're looking for emerging markets, which markets around the United States are actually emerging. And then from there, you can make the most amount of money in the least amount of time with the least amount of risk. And as you know, investing in multifamily properties and becoming wealthy, that wealth is created through appreciation. So that's why we are giving you the emerging market cycles as well. So multifamily millions, all the bonuses, just pay shipping and handling, and you get it now. So what roles do you guys play? Who's the underwriter?
I did majority of the underwriting, and she double-checked my work.
Okay. And then, Vish, what's your role in the partnership?
My role.
What are you guys' strengths and weaknesses?
So my strength is networking and capital raise. And this was an investor relations. And I do underwrite, but I wouldn't say that is my first strength. I would say that is my second. In this deal, I let Matthew do all the underwriting, and I took a look at the underwriting. And he had his coach look at his underwriting also. And once the numbers worked, and then we both agreed on it, and we moved forward. But my strengths is mainly networking, investor relations.
Excellent. And who's the operator? Anybody that's a strength is asset management?
Starting to. I'm going to be working with Class A management. So I'm going to be seeing what they do. They use ResMan, their software I like very much versus using QuickBooks. So I'm going to be the one to take on that role as time goes on.
Just so other people can understand what you just said. You just said you'd rather use ResMan than QuickBooks?
Yes.
For accounting software.
Yes.
All right. So it would make sense that somebody with the accounting background would take on the asset management role because of the fact you're looking at numbers. You're looking at the KPIs first. And if there's a problem with the KPIs, then you're going to need to have some asset management education. So you know, when the numbers aren't right, what to do, you know what I mean? What to drill down on, and then what actions need to be taken after that. So I think that's where, and I mean, you've got a property manager that is also a partner. So
yeah. And with, you know, with her,
that's going to be good training right there for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And with our property manager, her team has other people that have 15, 20 years experience mm-hmm. with asset management and operating apartment complexes.
Have you been through the digital asset management bootcamp that we have inside of the Learning Center?
Have not.
No.
Yeah. So you're a mentorship student, so you would have access to that. We start, obviously, there hasn't been any live events for the last year and a half. But even that's before then, we were, what's that?
That's what I missed, is the live events. I got cut off right in the beginning of my training, or all the live events stopped.
We just start doing live events again, live 3-day bootcamps again. We're having one this weekend in Dallas, actually. So those will start coming back. And the more and more people get vaccinated, the more and more places will open up, will have that. We're still having Ultimate Partnering. We're going to have Ultimate Partnering in, I think it's the first weekend of October in Dallas.
Okay.
Dallas.
So we're just securing the hotel right now. Yeah.
Great.
So if you are a mentorship, you definitely, Anna, you want to go through managing the manager, because that will get you up to speed on asset management. All right. So you raise the funds all through family members. Kind of risky. Did that make you nervous at all?
Yeah. Just, you know, making sure that we're keeping up with everything and hoping that it cash flows, which right now our numbers are looking well.
How long have you owned it?
What, a few weeks now?
Yeah, 3 weeks. We just closed.
2 weeks.
March 15th.
Yeah, then the fun begins.
It's been a month.
Yeah, it's a fresh start.
Yes.
But Dave, what gave us more confidence in the deal is we've been looking at this, the numbers and the property, and talking to everyone and working so much on the deal for the last 8 months. And that gave us a lot more confidence in terms of what is the value to add on the deal.
What is the value add on the deal?
Matt is has a business plan, and which we'll be talking about it tomorrow. But Matt, you can go ahead and...
The biggest thing for the current units will be renovating them. If we get new, the cabinets are just ugly in them, but if they get new cabinets and we do the flooring just to kind of clean up the interior, we're looking at easy $150, $200 rent bump right away.
How much per unit?
The additional
will be investing. How much per door will you be investing in per unit?
We're about $5,000 to $6,000 a door.
$5,000 to $6,000. Did you do the numbers? How much $5,000 to $6,000 a door? 65 doors is about $600,000.
Yeah, it's about what we budgeted for. For
all right.
Repairs, so some units.
And then you bump.
That's the high end of per unit.
Okay, and then you bump the rent by how much?
$150 to $200 a month.
How much? And then that equals so much per year, and then that equals how much increase in the value?
Oh. I haven't looked at it. I've been looking at all the numbers with increasing the value of the new units as well. But we're probably 2 to 3 million.
$2 to $3 million bump in value. Yeah, because if you did, let me see. I'm going to do that. Those numbers real quick. Let's say you did 150 times 65 times 12. Now you've got an extra 117,000, right? We divide that by a point. Let's say.
We're using a six cap.
Six cap. All right. 1.9, almost two. So you were going to put in 600,000 get 2 million back, a net of 1.4 million. Smart investment.
And that's just the renovation of the units. If we double the size of the
renovation,
complex, that'll be even better.
What are you going to do, side the complex?
Yeah, we can build another 60 units there.
Oh yeah, that's right. You're going to, you have another value add, which is the building of the units. Yep. And Lisa.
I look forward to that project. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. How far away from this is it from all you guys?
I live 40 minutes from the property.
For me, it's 150 miles.
How many minutes is that?
That's about close to 3 hours, depending on the traffic.
I have the longest commute. I live in California.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
And you're hanging out in Texas right now?
We're actually in Florida visiting our family. Our parents.
Oh, nice.
Grandparents are here. Yeah.
Excellent. That's good. So what was the biggest challenge in this deal, other than taking 8 months to close it? What would you say is the biggest challenge? And then I'm going to follow that question up with what was the most unusual thing about this deal?
the whole deal was pretty creative. Unusual.
I think what I feel is so the property manager is managing the property and the son owns the property. So dealing with the family dynamics was a little challenging at times.
Because
I would feel that was you never know where to cross the line or where not to do or not to do things. So that was another thing which we had to, because both of them, mother and son, fighting over a lot of things they don't agree upon, because you communicate with the son thinking that he's going to update his mom. Or the mom says, you guys are not even keeping me in the loop. What is going on? And that sort of slowed down the process at times. That is right, Matt?
Okay.
Yeah.
Family dynamics was difficult.
Yeah.
My challenge
is
to figure out when to initiate attorneys and lenders to start their job.
Definitely.
Because you didn't know when you were going to close, right?
Yeah.
All right. What about the takeover? Were there any surprises at the takeover or during the inspection?
No. We're just trying to work with the management team and get things moving more streamlined, you know, versus trying to essentially hound for information or get things rolling at some point. You know, we're still trying to find our happy medium of working with each other.
Excellent. What advice would you give somebody that was just starting out looking to get into their first deal?
Take a deep breath. You're going to be going on a roller coaster.
A little emotional, yeah.
Yeah.
Get to know the seller. I think that's the biggest
really
thing
good advice.
I took out from the whole deal.
Well, what you wish?
For me, I would say it all comes down to the quality of relationships, because If someone, even if you have all cash, if they don't like your face or if you don't like the way you treat them, they're not going to sell it to you. But if you have a good relationship, I mean, you got to be real with them. You can't fake it. You can't tell them I've done thousands of deals. And once they realize that you haven't done, and it's of no use you talking big, but you got to be real with
them.
Yeah.
So. You can't let that BS meter start going up.
Right.
Once that starts going up, and your chance of getting that deal start going down. Because eventually you're going to trip up and say something that just doesn't make sense to the seller. And even though they may not say something to you, it's going to sound alarms in their head.
Right.
And they got to retract.
Even though people talk about, oh, you got to fake it till you make it. But I would call them a fake, because you can't fake it. Because in other words, rather than faking it, I would feel you need to partner with people who have already done it. That'll make everybody's life easy.
Yeah, I don't believe in that fake it till you make it. But what I do believe in, first, I know from experience, my own experience coming from nothing in buying deals, is as long as I was honest with the owners when I was negotiating or with my investors, then they understood. You know, at the beginning when I would get the questions, how many deals have you done? It's like one, two. Small ones, three families, and then, but I would tell them about, what I was planning on doing, who my team members were and all of that. So instead of, I was always honest and they could tell that. And I think I had more people do business with me because I was honest more than I had experience at the beginning. But the fake it till you make it, I think a better phrase for that is to, is see it and feel it and vision it. And as you're doing that and drive yourself towards that vision, then you're going to get there.
Right.
Yeah. And there's this expression, acting as if, acting as if you're already there. That's fine. Just as long as you're not lying.
Right.
While you're acting as if. That works good. All right. Did you control that dog? Give that dog a bone.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We're going to play lightning round. I've never played lightning round with three people. Usually two at the most, but all right. But we're going to try it with three, see how it goes. I've got about 10 questions here. Okay. I am going to go Vish first, and then Matthew second, then Anna third. All right. And we're going to go now. I'm going to go down the list. So I'm just going to ask you a question and then you answer it. Okay. And then the last question will be for everybody. All right. So first, Vish, if you had one superpower, what would it be?
Well, I would probably give everybody a better lifestyle, what they're looking in for.
So you would be the grantor of wishes? You'd be the genie in the lamp?
Yeah.
Yes. And I would grant them the lifestyle what they're looking in for.
That's nice. Actually, Matthew, what would your superpower be? Some of these questions I'll ask all three.
My superpower, super strength.
All right, Anna.
I can build the world.
I would fly. I like to fly everywhere.
Do you fly in your dreams?
Yep.
That's a very good omen, by the way. I used to climb an imaginary rope when I was a kid and start flying in my dreams. All right, so all three, what's your favorite car, Vish?
I drive a Subaru. I like it.
All right. Favorite car, Matthew?
My 71 Buick Skylark.
And a Buick? Are you kidding me? That was my grandmother's car. I'm not saying that to make fun of you, but that's what my grandmother had. My grandmother gave it to my father because my father was always working two jobs. You know, we didn't have a lot of money when we were growing up, and so we with the six of us used to all get into that Skylark.
Yeah, you put a lot of people in that car.
Wow, that's a memory come back. All right, Anna.
Currently, XT6 Cadillac.
Awesome. All right, so this is for all of you. Do you know how to salsa dance? And if you do, do you eat salsa chips while you dance?
I eat salsa chips, but I don't salsa dance.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Well, I would eat salsa chips, but I would stay away from the spicy and the habanero.
All right, on a scale from 1 to 10, how good are you at live presentations? Vish?
I'm really good.
1 to 10 live presentations. Very good. 10?
6.
All right, Matthew?
4.
What are you? Anna?
I'll say 5.
What'd you say?
5.
You're 5. All right. Do you believe in love at first sight?
No.
That's a tough one.
Nope, haven't been there.
Yeah.
Okay. How many cups of coffee do you drink per day? Fish?
6.
3.
1.
Favorite type of muffin? Fish?
Blueberry muffin.
Breakfast muffin. Blueberry.
Blueberry.
Poppy seed.
Poppy seed. All right. And one final question for everybody. Why did kamikaze pilots wear helmets?
You got me in there.
All right. That has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab, the podcast that dissects deals.
You've been listening to the Multifamily Deal Lab podcast, where the deals get done. If you'd like to learn more, visit davetoday.com. And don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and review and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening.